Good afternoon. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip Monday, the 8th of February, episode number 747. It's a jumbo episode. See what I did there? See what I did there? Good that. I'm very busy today. I'm snowed under. Oh, I'm on a roll. I'm on an absolute roll. Let's have a little recap of the weekend football. Not often, is it? Not often you see 5 goals in one half, is it? It's not often you get to a game 0-0 half time and you think, I'll play the over 4 and a 5, over 4.5 here. You could have done it yesterday in a certain game and I'm sure you would have got paid handsomely. I'd said, didn't I? I said weeks ago, I said once that fortress was broken, then it would all unravel. I haven't won at home since before Christmas now. 3 on the spin. I said, I could find the podcast where I said, once they lose one, it'll all start to unravel. There was that air of invincibility gone. Mind you, City could put 10 past us next week. Spurs did win, toiled in the first half. Rubber ball, you should have gone in 1-0 up. You had clear golden opportunity right at the end of the first half. The boy with the header. And you ended up paying for it. I'm not going to get too excited as a Spurs fan. It was only West Brom. But Rubber Ball and Sheffield United, you is gone. You is playing Championship football next week. We got a bit of FA Cup this week. As I say, Spurs will be knocking Everton out and then we'll be losing to the City. That's going to be a horror show. The old Gooners, didn't they? Because this is Villa, Villa. I said two inconsistent sides keep thinking the arse will improve, and they keep proving that they won't. All the teams, don't they, seem inconsistent this year. Southampton, the arse has fallen out of them, haven't they? Dr. Spurs, 20th of March, will cure you then. You might have to wait till then to get another win, Saints, but 20th of March, you'll get cured. And the old carpet couldn't, you know, I tipped them up, didn't I? They failed, see? They get a nosebleed when they get near those dizzy heights, don't they, the old carpet? And draw at Fulham, I don't know how they played, whether they play well or not. Hopefully that's a return to normality and we get some proper results for the old carpet. Back to normal, please. I see somebody posted Mind the Gap. I thought, right, I think, was it you, Kelly? I thought, a bit early to be doing that, son. You don't learn. See, Spurs fans used to do that to the Gooners all the time and we always got reined in. I wouldn't be posting that quite now because it will come back and haunt you, son, as soon as we move back above you. Watched the Super Bowl last night. Absolutely amazing performance by Tampa Bay. I thought they played an almost perfect game of football, those of you who are interested in the game. I'd said I'd fancied them to go out in front, which I did. And then I thought, you know, Kansas will come back into it, but they did go out in front and then they pushed on and went even more in front until it just became, I mean, it was just a one-way masterclass. They were absolutely superb all round. Offence, defence, Brady pulling the strings, defence just was absolutely, I mean, they made Mahomes, who undoubtedly is one of the most talented quarterbacks to ever play the game, even at a young age. Just made him look worse than ordinary, restricted the Chiefs to field goals only, which I think it was 50-1 in places, Kansas not to score a touchdown. Just an amazing performance, and whilst it's a team game, it's, you know, it is genuinely all generated by Brady going there. Absolute unreal sportsman, 7 Super Bowl wins out of 10 over a 20-year career. I'm not that greatest of all time tag gets waved around, you know, it's like the word legend, it gets waved around far too often, but he is genuinely in that sport the greatest of all time, and I'm not sure if anyone will ever even get close to that. My bets went 3-2. Just really enjoyed the game. Really enjoyed the game. Talking about greatest of all time, I see in the chat group somebody was saying, is he the greatest sportsman of all time? And people were chipping in. The guy who put Phil Taylor, you need to go and get some help. And it just shows how modern day recency bias you all are. Like, I mean, people putting George Best and Gazza. Go back, what about Jesse Owens? How can you not have Ali in there? How can you not have Jack? How can you mention Tiger Woods and not have Jack Nicklaus? Clueless, a lot of you. I worry about you all. I do. I worry whether you're going to make anything of yourselves in life with this nonsense you come out with. I'm trying to get grasp on all aspects of people's lives to help them out here. I'll come on to that again in a minute. I was enamoured by the half-time show. I'd never heard of the bloke, The Weeknd. I recognised one song. I thought it was Neff. Some of them I've liked, but they do. A lot of them do disappoint. I just thought that was absolute nonsense. So I said to Sam, I'll go and make us a little half-time buffet. So I put together a nice little spread, a bit of chicken wings, some celery, carrot with dips, crisps, peanut butters, peanuts, Rolos, Guinness, Prosecco. And whilst tucking into some crisps, we got onto the topic, Sam and I, sitting watching the game, of what are the best crisps? Just, that's how we roll, see? That's how exciting our life is in lockdown. What are the best flavour crisps? We did ice cream the other week. Best crisps, I thought, I'll ask the Twitter sphere again. LFC lad, I knew you were going to put mint choc chip. I thought he'll be in bed now. It was about 2 a.m. He was still up, but he said he didn't put it. But I asked him, and frankly, we don't need... this is going to be Mindset Monday, but we don't need Mindset Monday. We need some key life skills. We need some education on crisps. I mean, what are you lot? I worry how you get through life, honestly. I mean, let's start with the complete numpty ones for the first. Prawn cocktail. Whoever puts prawn cocktail, you need to go and see someone. It's never, ever been a crisp flavour. Go and eat a prawn cocktail. I make a good prawn cocktail if I say so myself. Get some nice juicy prawns. No, none of that pre-cooked stuff. Buy some fresh ones. Blanch them yourself. Nice iceberg lettuce, cherry tomatoes, hint of lemon juice. Make your own cocktail sauce with a dash of Worcester. Well, I like the American style one with a hint of horseradish. Bit of avocado mixed in. Eat that. Then open a packet of Walker's fucking prawn cocktail crisps. Come on, it's not. They're not even a thing, are they? They're not even a thing. They're not even remotely like eating a prawn cocktail. They're nonsense. Sour cream and sweet onion. Turn it in. Turn it in. I mean, ironically, old Dio posts a packet. It says on the packet, absolutely nothing artificial on the packet. No, except the flavour. You can't replicate sour cream in a crisp flavour. It just results in an utter disgraceful failure. Proper crisps are ones that contain proper flavours. None of this other nonsense that they make up for marketing tripe. Ready salted is a proper crisp. Bit bland, bit weak, but it is what it says on the tin. Get some crisps, add some salt, shake it all about, job done. The king of flavours, salt and vinegar. Absolute king of flavours. You can create it at home. You can make your own crisps. Get yourself some finely sliced potatoes. Fry them up, cool them down, add some salt, dash of vinegar, shake it all up, off you go. Crack black pepper, perfectly acceptable. Cheese and onion, just about you can get away with. Get yourself some cheese powder and onion powder, you can do it. But all the other stuff, chili Dorito, who put that? Chili Doritos, steak crinkles, and all the other piss poor imitations you get. Proper crisps, salt and vinegar win hands down. And another one, who put their other twisty thing, knickknacks. Somebody put spicy knickknacks, have a word. Spicy knickknacks, sour cream and flipping prawn cocktail. Go and have a word with yourselves. Salt and vinegar, that's where it's at. Crisps, you can actually create the real flavours. None of this made up nonsense that doesn't resemble anything. Steak and chips flavour, steak flavour. Does it taste like eating a steak? Not remotely. It's vile. Salt and vinegar chip sticks, particular favourite of mine, posted a picture. They're a very strong contender. They got an added benefit, the old chip stick, because you can eat them Sunday, like I ate them last night. You can use your super solar-powered Oral-B toothbrush for the next 4 days, twice a day, 3 minutes. You can floss, you can do everything. You will still find bits of salt and vinegar chipsticks in your teeth on Thursday, Friday. They hang around for ages. Maximum flavour benefit, see? They hang around, don't they? The old chipstick sticks to your mouth, almost impossible to move. Yeah, so there you go. Now you've been told. So we'll have less of the nonsense, less of this flipping sweet and sour cream and all that old nonsense. Knickknacks, Monster Munch. I mean, they're just air, aren't they? They're not even crisps. Pickled onion Monster Munch, somebody put. I mean, do me, honestly. Whilst on food, I did roast pork belly yesterday. It's absolutely fantastic cut of meat to roast. It really is. It's almost impossible to get it wrong. You can have it so serve it with so many ways. I'm going to talk you through it this week. I'll talk you through exactly how I make it. We have it quite a bit. Just shows you don't need to spend a fortune. Cheap cut of meat. Absolutely divine. It was absolutely superb. And finally, before we move on to Mindset Monday, a few people have asked me about this. The deadline is tomorrow for this Gambling Commission review into betting and these limits and this, that and the other. My view resembles pretty much anything else I've read about it. I think it's ridiculous. I think it's an absolute invasion. I think it's driven by people who are probably prohibitionists, people who don't understand the game, certainly. I can't do better than anybody else has done. The Smart Betting Club have posted, if you follow Smart Betting Club, SBC Info on Twitter or the Smart Betting Club, they've banged on about it for a while, about these affordability checks. You can submit your views, and I'd urge you to do it today or tomorrow, on the Gambling Commission website. I will post the link, if you like. I'll post the link on Twitter. But the Smart Betting Club have got it posted on their website. If you Google gamblingcommission.gov.uk gambling consultation, you'll probably get it as well. Or you can write to your MP and just, what is it you should be saying? One, that you think it's a massive invasion of privacy and liberty. Are they going to start standing outside supermarkets asking people how much they've spent on alcohol and cigarettes? And I mean, my missus spends fortunes on shoes, buys a pair of shoes every time she goes clothes shopping. Are they going to start doing that? And also stress the difference between casino gambling and the skill of sports betting, because it is a skill. I agree they should cut down on advertising, cut down on making it seem as glamorous perhaps, but to go through the way they're going about it is absolute nonsense, and trying to treat casino and bingo and whatever else it may be the same as sports punter. And I don't think it'll work. I think if you start getting into, moving into Mindset Monday, I'll talk about how your banks go up and down. If they're going to start saying somebody's lost 200 quid, that's you done, and give you no chance to win it back, I think they're going to make the problem worse, because you're just going to have more people losing. Because a lot of people obviously win, lose, win, lose, win, lose, and whilst they may lose overall, they're taking a long time to lose that money. Starting to put this these limits on it. I just think it's nonsense. I just think it's absolute nonsense. But those are the sort of areas you want to focus on. You know, the invasion of your liberties, I suppose would be the word, and the difference between the two things, the two elements of punting. Sports betting cannot be treated the same as casino gambling. I mean, I don't know how they're going to make them police this. How are they going to police it in a casino if you want to go up and bet on the roulette there, in betting shops with cash, at the racetracks with cash? I think it is absolutely the wrong approach to it. Almost clueless, but doesn't surprise me. Obviously we don't know what's going to happen. There's lots of speculation. I think a lot of these things, people panic and get worst case scenario. We don't know what's going to happen, but you have got a chance to have your say. So you could write to your MP, just expressing those concerns, or you could go to that gamblingcommission.gov.uk and look up the consultation and fill that in. Takes you 5-10 minutes. I've done both. I probably should have spoken a bit earlier, just time and that power business last week. I lost my train of thought of it. As I say, the Smart Betting Club have got all the info you need on it. So if you follow them on Twitter, then you'll be able to find it. It's probably easier than anything I can put out, as they have done that for a couple of weeks. Right, what have we got? It's Mindset Monday. Obviously, we missed last week with my power woes, so let's get into that for today. just to catch up where we left off. So I started these in January. Mindset Monday 1, I talked about my background, introduction to my backstory, how I sort of got into this a little bit. Week 2, I talked about how you spend your time and looking and planning this more as a business as opposed to just diving in and getting on the merry-go-round of starting something, stopping something and repeating it. And as I say, it's not easy, and these are only my thoughts. I say at the beginning of everyone, you don't have to agree with me. I don't need to hear your opinion on my thoughts. People will find this useful, others won't. That's absolutely fine. But I do believe that in the first instance, planning and setup will make a huge difference to most. And even if you spent 3 months planning it out, it would benefit you. You know, there is no rush. And then I talked about managing difficult times and more about trying to understand the numbers. And I think with some that went down really well. Obviously others it didn't, but I can't please everybody. But understanding everyone has these periods and we have no control over them, but to let them play out. And if we have planned properly, we can learn to ride through them. No matter how the sort of mental stress or how long they go on for, and there's no timeline for how long they can go on for. You know, I always refer back to 2015-16. I turned £500 on FTS into £37,500 in 3 years. For the first 12 months, did nothing, did absolutely nothing, just bobbed up and down, didn't move a jot. I think it ended up about £100 down. It started at £500, it was something like £412. And in the next 2 years, it became £37,500. Didn't change anything, didn't do anything else, just kept doing the same thing. And I don't know anybody else who would have kept going beyond 12 months. I don't know anybody who would have made 12 months, but just shows you, you know, you've got to keep plugging away. So that sort of leads us into today, and I just want to talk a little bit. I do want to try and get them shorter, just so they don't become, like I say, monologue lectures. But in the sort of planning phase, I was asking you, look at why you do this, what you want out of it, how you will go about it. Undoubtedly, people get drawn into gambling in the lure of financial gain. I think some people just like the buzz of it. Some people get greedy. Some people think it's a fast buck and it's easy. And others almost feel they got a right to win. And then it becomes very easy to pull on those strings. You know, casinos do it with free booze, flashy lights, making the game seem glamorous, giving you chips instead of cash to take the reality sort of away from it. You'd throw in chips, and I've always said that. You know, I used to sit and play a lot of poker, and I just used to sit and think to myself, if you put cash in front of that guy, he just wouldn't do what he's doing. But because it's chips, it's too easy to throw it away. So that's how they do it. Bookies do it with bonuses, cash out offers, all trying to lure you into thinking it's easy, whilst usually what they're offering is absolute garbage. Obviously, bonus hunters have come along and take advantage of some of these, but in general, what if they're putting an offer up, it's a bad offer and bad value. And marketers and other punters do it, don't they? Look at what I've won, come on, it's easy, fear of missing out. So hopefully sort of mindset Mondays 1, 2, 3 is starting to get you to think why you're in this field and understand it is a grind. But once you do sort of get to the stage where you're putting your foot in the water, of course, we have to have money involved. And the simple inclusion of that makes everything a lot more complicated. And until you can, and this is again just my opinion, until you can detach yourself from the money side, I would hazard a guess that you've probably got next to no chance of success. If we've set ourselves up properly and we've chosen our betting activity to suit our nature, time, lifestyle, money we've got, and just realise that that money then is a tool to execute what we want to do, the game becomes easy. I'm quite glad I didn't have power last week, because this Saturday I had a horrific afternoon from whatever it was, the 12 o'clock kickoffs in Bundesliga 2. Actually started Friday night, which I'll get onto in a minute. But from that through to the 3 o'clock kickoffs, I lost £15,000. I went to bed that evening, having not done anything different from sort of 5 o'clock through till 9 o'clock, £572 behind. It was a real swing, £15,000 down, nearly got it all back. And then I won about £6,000 on Sunday. So over a 24-hour period, I've been down 15 to up 5,800. and the massive swings. You know, you're talking, what, 21 grand swing pretty much. If I was focusing on each and every bet, and these aren't bot bets, so I'm actually putting them on, but if I was focusing on the result of each and every bet, focusing on the P&L of every bet, I would almost certainly malfunction at some stage and not stick to process. You know, I said in the week three, when the numbers played out, I was placing the same bets, same markets, what I calculate to be very similar edge, but I just got no results for an extended period. And if I sat ticking them off, going £800 loss, another £800 loss, I'd drive myself mad. Of course, I'm aware it's going on. Of course, I'm not happy about it. But I distance myself from it and realise that that's not normal. And I've just got to keep doing the process because I understand, again, it comes to understanding the numbers. I was aware that it's an unusual run. I know the markets, you know, those outcomes can't keep them up. You're betting 55, 60% chances. You cannot possibly lose 85, 90% of the time over an extended period. It's impossible. You can lose 85, you can lose 100%. If you take over 10 bets and lose 10 bets, you've lost 100%. But over a period of time, it's impossible. And you get to, when you distance yourself from money, you realise you don't get these smooth upward graphs that people permanently seek. All I want is a graph that goes like a straight line, you know, like a ski ramp. So I take the money out of it, focus on process. I don't worry about being right every single trade. Don't think you don't have doubts. Of course you do, but you've just got to keep doing what you're doing and have always done. And I know, you know, in my case, it'll be goals will come or not come if I don't want them to in my time, in the time period over time. So instead of focusing on that money, you know, I've done 800 quid there, done 800 quid there, I focused on the probabilities and how they will play out over 1,000 games, 2,000 games, and let's say 55% chance the market's given me, I expect to win, I don't know what, 60, 62% of the time. As an absolute extreme taking that, I could lose the first 200 bets. You know, I'm not saying that's what I'm, but you could do. And then over the next 800 bets, I know it's going to give me something back. But the key is not to focus on the money. Did I win today? But did I follow my process today? Did I change anything? No, I just kept plugging away. Focusing on the money, be it cash or even points, and points do help, but they don't solve it alone, is what leads to panic, leads to giving up. I've lost X pounds, that's me done. It leads to chasing. Oh, I've lost five in a row. I'm out into X pounds. One of these next ones must win. You know, it's never lost five in a row before. This one of these next ones must win. I'll have more on these and get it back. Happens every single day in the gambling world. I love watching people gamble. Suggsy will tell you this. I can go in a casino, grab a beer, and I can stand there for hours not having a bet. But just watching people. I do it for, you know, sometimes I get up early in Vegas. Sam will be asleep. I'll go down. If there's not much going on in the card room or whatever, I'll just wander around. And I just pull up a stall, order a drink, you know, drink for nothing, and observe people. And you see it all play out in front of you. You can spot anyone with half a clue in minutes, and you can spot the idiots even quicker. And the idiots nearly always just driven by money. So if we focus on the process rather than each outcome, you know, or an overall financial outcome on a day basis, week basis, and live in those bank swings in real time, I promise you, you will start to get better in all aspects. One reason, you know, I will get on to record keeping, but one reason people don't keep records is they don't see the reality of a losing day. You know, that as an example, that gambling commission, I think that could be something that if more bookmakers made you aware of what you're winning or losing, it might have more effect. But people don't like to put the reality of a losing day down, so they end up, oh, I didn't do that day, I lost, couldn't be bothered. And then they get behind and they never really catch it up. So it just becomes another element of their punting that goes in the bin. It makes it real, putting I've lost X pounds today. So I'll always come back to, if your setup is set up correctly, then it does not matter. Only thing guaranteed is you will win some bets, you will lose some bets, and if we set ourselves up to ride those winners and losers, we should, providing we've done it properly, ride ourselves up to a profit over time. If you start reacting to the pounds getting overly down when you're losing, getting overly jubilant when you're winning. In my opinion, you're done before you start. You know, things like aiming for a target profit each day or trying to win X bets a day almost certainly never work. What do you do when you don't hit X amount and you got no more bets in that in your process? You know, I don't know, you might have up playing over 2.5 goals and five bets, you expect to win three of them and make a tenner. What happens if you don't and you've got no more bets left? Do you go and find another over 2.5 in a game that wasn't part of your process? So process over profit and loss every single day, I'm certain, will improve most people. Now, that said, it's not easy. I'm well aware that where money is involved, people are, you know, and that comes down to the basics of not having, using money you can't afford. And it's not a quick process. It's an area that needs work. And I know people on FTS even now. You know, I'll take Shazwad's posted on Twitter just this morning, what, won 40 bets out of 45, 50 over the last 2 weeks. Big change in her from the cash side to actually just get up and do the process, do the same thing. And I know some others who've been fantastic at it, and it's genuinely improved their performance. It affects all areas of it if you start dealing with that. I deal with people who react to losses and they try and remove them. I've had three losing bets in France. That's cost me X pounds. I'll take those out. I'll stop the French league. I won't do that next week. You keep doing that, eventually you remove every single element. You know, losers happen. They happen randomly. Money's our tool of the trade. Focus on what you're doing each and every day. And you'll cut that nonsense out of it. You know, it's one of my real bugbears, people trying to remove every single loser. And once a bet's in play, and I'm not talking trading where we've got an element of control of entry and exit, but once we've put a bet on, we don't have any control over it. And Friday night, I mean, my woes started Friday night. I put a game up, I think I put it in the Telegram group, for a goal at Rio Ave in Portugal. And apparently, and the only way I know this is through the Telegram group, the bet lost, but apparently they missed a I don't know, 95, 96 minute penalty. That was a £1,200 swing for me, that missed penalty. But as I say, I didn't know, I didn't watch it, but some in the Telegram group did. And they said it was a horrific miss. You know, all I saw was what was he doing, this, that and the other. Now, if you start, again, it comes down to that living each one. If I could take that two ways, oh, I've lost a bet, move on to the next one, which is what I did. Or, oh, shit, that cost me £1,200, that. I could smash the house up, blame the player for losing me £1,200. Or I just move on to the next game. And which one's going to give me more chance of being successful? Of course, it's the just wipe your mouth, move on to the next bit. I think in the early years, ignoring your profit and loss is really important. I think it's something that you've got to really try and take responsibility for what you're doing, take responsibility for each and every trade, execute your process to get that trade, ignore noise from others. You know, again, why I don't really like chat rooms and forums. You're having a bad day, you're losing X pounds, and then, I don't know, in Telegram group, for example, we've got John Smith pops up and puts a bet on, tips a bet up, and you've done, I don't know, let's say he puts it up at 5 o'clock and you've done £40 on the 3 o'clock kickoffs. Oh, I'll have a go on that. He obviously fancies that. I think he's quite good, this guy. But you don't really know naff all about him. You have that bet and that loses, and now you're £50 down as opposed to £40 down. And you don't take any responsibility for it. Oh, I can blame him now. It's his fault. It's a behavioural change, this, and you need to accept that what's seen, I don't know, what unnatural results, I guess. I mean, we are seeing some strange results at the minute, and we'll see how that all pans out at the end of the season. But we got to take some responsibility and again, not excuse fine, not tie it to the money. If we learn to ignore the financial outcome as we go, it becomes easier. You need to become almost sterile to it. I think that's the sort of word it is. And that does take time. I'm not saying it's going to be quick. It's something you've got to start work on yourself and start now. But, you know, I'm talking about people giving tips. In that example, if you use somebody else's tips, be it mine, be it whatever, wherever they come from, you know, you might... I'm sure there's people in this all entwined on Twitter and talk to each other and WhatsApp groups. it shifts that blame from you onto them all the time. It shifts that responsibility to you. One of the reasons I wanted to do this on my own was because I wanted to be responsible for all of it. Looking at horses, the people I had access to, what happens if they pack up and all that sort of side of it. So I wanted just to have my own sort of run on it. And that's why I share data as opposed to tips, because I think, well, you're free then to do whatever you want. But the data, even if I put my clogs, that data will still come out. But if it was just tipping, oh, Ian posted 3 losers today, what load of shit, cost me 100 quid. Well, did I? Why did you place those bits? How did you determine the stakes? Are you going to bet my next 300 bits I post? Whose fault is it really? If you start getting into that, trying to win that short-term money, focusing on P&L all the time, as opposed to what is your process, and building your structure around that, I think becomes better for you. But as I say, it's hard. It's not. It is a behavioural change in most people, because most people start this off with money and first port of call, and they never really move away from that. And I've had emails there, I'm 30 points down XYZ, I'm panicking. Well, I can't do anything about that. If you've got 100 point bank, you've got 70% of your bank left. It's a tool. You let it go up and down, just keep doing what you're doing. So building your structure around that process with a bank set as a tool to execute that process, I am certain with a lot of you will lead to an increased performance. Obviously, there's other elements to punting. Of course, there is building the system, understanding numbers, probabilities, consistency of approach. Bots can help people because, you know, what I find funny with bots is people bot stuff and then watch the bot. Watch the bot all day long. The idea of botting stuff is so you go about your day, take the emotion out of it, let the thing do it. But you have people who put stuff on the bot and then they're watching it all day long. I put stuff on bots. I have bots running. I don't pay any attention to them. Let them do their thing. You drive yourself mad. Drive yourself absolutely barking mad. Risk and reward management. I'm sure if people focus on these things, you'll be ahead of most in the game. The bottom line, you need to move away from the focus on money and short-term PL. And then you'll start to, bet, punt, execute what you're doing, I suppose, without fear. You'll start to understand it's part of the process, as opposed to, and you'll start to say that it's just part of my process, as opposed to the negativity or what a terrible run I'm on, or these are having a shocking time, and cementing yourself in that circle of doom. Or let's see if I can change it now, get something out of it. And you learn that 1 day's PL, 1 week's PL, 1 month's PL, and sometimes 1 year's PL is really not important. Your process and approach is far more important in how you go about this. I truly believe that. I know there'll be people who disagree with me, and there'll be people who have different ways of going about it, but I truly believe that it will be better for people if you try and move your focus. And as I say, it's a learned skill. You've got to just get into a routine. I've got a very strict routine of what I do each day, and you've just got to get into that routine, and then execute each and every bet trade as it comes up, and almost become, as I say, sterile, immune to the results for the bit. And as I say, I'm sure that will do you better. So again, hope people will take out of these what they take out of them. I enjoy doing them. I'm hopefully doing them for the right reasons and passing something to people, even if there's in all that just one little snippet that somebody can cling to and say, I'll do that. That's it. I'm done. It is Monday. It's I'll move on, and I will be, as I say, we'll resume these now each and every Monday, providing my power. We've got a ton of snow here now. I was expecting problems today, but hopefully everything's good. And I will be back with you all tomorrow morning.